What's going on today, B? How you doing today, man?
Good, man. Excited. Looking at some projects and
exactly
trying to post a number this quarter.
Okay, you know, okay. But
if we don't get one this quarter, we're certainly going to get one, you know, next quarter.
Exactly.
You know, so, yeah.
Man, that
got a lot of deals.
That property that you've been looking at is beautiful. I know we don't really go by the beauty, but
yeah,
it's quite a gorgeous
hard
property,
not to, right? You know, to be in this area and in that St. Petersburg area. And and when you see a property like this, yeah, it's hard not to, you know, the emotional side of you, definitely, you know, it's like pulling for this property, you know? So, you know, but then you get slapped with a, you know, with reality, or doused with a cold, you know, bucket of ice water when it comes to when you put your letter of intent in based on, you know, your standards, and, you know, the seller's like, nah. You know, there's like three or four people ahead of you that it's a little closer to the whisper price.
Right.
So then you know, you get doused with that cold bucket of reality, ice cold water. Ice cold bucket of reality is always tough to get doused with. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a competitive market.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk more about that today, man. Thank you so much for joining me in the studio, brother.
Yes, sir.
And So first of all, we want to welcome you guys to Buy the Block, our podcast, where we teach you how to buy it, rent it, profit. This is episode 19, and today we are going to show you how to show your unit and get your and close the deal. You know, last week we talked about kind of setting the qualifying criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you've set your qualifying criteria, but then you still kind of have to close the deal by, you know, showing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I saw somebody share a video in one of our kind of, you know, investor groups.
Mm-hmm.
It was this hideous video of kind of him hand walking the unit with his phone. There was no staging
yep,
in it or
seen
anything
it.
Like
I said
that.
It. Yeah.
So today, man, I wanted to talk to you. This is a portion of your book as well. And I've been able to see you kind of rehab Park Plaza, which you've done a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Tell me more about, you know, why showing your unit. Why is that part of closing the deal? Like, why should we be thinking about how we present ourselves when we're showing our units and getting them rent ready?
Well, you know, ideally, so let's start at the beginning.
Right.
In the beginning, there's the genesis of why we do this.
Okay.
The number one reason why I'm doing this, I won't say the number one, but there's several reasons why I do this.
Yeah.
The main reasons are to understand the prospect tenant.
Okay.
Who they are, what they like, what they don't like. Okay.
Yep.
And then understand a base rent for that area.
Right.
Okay. Once I can get that information, then I can begin to really go from there with my assumptions that are either put into the analyzer in the very beginning stages, which then ultimately works their way into the framework of the management plan, which is executed upon day one when we show up to the property.
Right. Okay.
So it's really trying to understand the rent, the base rent. Where are we at currently with the base rent?
Right.
Where can we project to go with our assumptions? Because remember, when you're putting all this information in and you're underwriting, these are all assumptions.
Right.
And then when you own the property, it's still assumptions.
Okay.
Can we push the rents? How far can we push the rents?
Right.
If we push the rents, how long do the units sit vacant? Are we pushing the time frame up as because we've pushed the rents?
Okay.
And we're setting the market pace? Are we now... Are our vacant units sitting on the market for several more days?
Mm.
How is that affecting us with loss to lease? So all these things are like going through my mind, and you're having to compile answers.
Right.
You know, to as the asset manager, and then your property managers have to execute on that. So it's really that's what this is when you're talking about why we do this and why staging your units is so important. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just if you're a leasing professional, it's not just staging.
Okay.
You know, it's really understanding how to get to that base rent and then how to really, you know, not only get to the base rent, but how do you add value?
Right.
Because people talk and use that term value add.
Right.
Loosely. But very few people dive into what value add is.
Okay.
So when I'm looking at these projects, I'm looking at how to add value add to the base rent. What can we add in the remodeling of the units.
Right.
You know, what can we add to the curb appeal? All to stack on top of that base rent.
Right.
$25, you know, for light fixture upgrade, $45 for faucet upgrades, fixture upgrades, you know, $75 for a ceiling fan, vanity in the bathroom, $75, whatever it may be. And I'm just throwing numbers out, but you get the idea how it begins to, you stack on the, from the base, how you continue to put these amenities on that you're adding, and you get to a certain dollar amount.
Right.
Curb appeal, you know, $25. At some point, you're going to say, okay, this is our dollar amount. And then you're going to say, this is what we're going to push to the market. And then you sit and you wait.
Okay.
And you made your assumptions based on your CO, the strategic evaluation of your target area information. But then you really get tested by the market in real life, because guess what? Now you do this on Monday. You post to Facebook Live or Facebook Marketplace. You post to Zillow. Now Zillow charges you, by the way, so $9 a week. I have found with my team that Facebook Marketplace has been a much better lead generator than Zillow. They're kind of neck and neck, but I'm kind of liking Facebook. Number one, it's free, and you're able to look at profiles, and you're able to, you know, speak to your to these prospects a little quicker on the platform with Facebook. So the management staff and individuals like that, you know, a lot easier,
right?
Are a lot better. But at the end of the day, you know, now you're going to be tested in the marketplace by actual individuals stepping sight on your property, taking a tour. And then they're going to, you know, your assumptions will be tested. So now you're going to, now it's time for staff to ask, what did you think about our fixture upgrades? Right. Would you pay extra dollars for this ceiling fan? And now you're actually getting feedback from the market. So then you might make adjustments depending upon the real feedback, no longer assumptions. Now you're actually talking to someone. I'm having a conversation with Nathan. Nathan, what do you think about these fixtures? What do you think about this ceiling fan? You know, would you pay extra for this? Is this an amenity that you would want to see them pay extra for?
Right.
And then they say yay, nay, or whatever. Then you might make some adjustments to your value proposition or your value add plan. And, you know, you might adjust the rents accordingly. But you're always trying to figure out and adjust the rents. And that's something that's constantly an ongoing process that's not just done during the underwriting phase like you see and hear a lot. You know, these days, you know, people are just talking about the underwriting phase. No, this is something that goes on daily when you own property. You know, nowadays they have software that actually changes the rent on certain properties based upon certain algorithms that the property faces, occupancy, vacancy, income expenditures and things of that nature. So it'll set a rental price based on supply and demand, basically.
Okay.
So it's constantly changing. So the ebbs and flows.
Right. But would you say that all properties need some form of curb appeal? So whether it's, you know, A class, D class.
Listen, everybody needs a brand.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
That's small business, big business, lemonade stand.
Right.
Everyone has to have a brand.
Right.
That's number one. Your properties are no different. Your properties have to have an identity and a brand, and they have to have an experience attached to them. I mean, they don't have to, but if you want to compete in and be competitive in a market, they need to. So for me, at the end of the day, absolutely. Every property that I take over and operate has an identity, has an experience attached to it. And that experience comes through with the curb appeal that you're talking about, the way the property is toured, the way the property feels, the way the prospect tenant, the interactions between prospect tenant and management. And then when they become a tenant, the interactions between tenant and management, you know, maintenance staff, all of that should be factored into the overall experience. Because ultimately what you're selling, especially in a tough marketplace, what you're really selling to the prospect tenant and then, you know, hoping to renew the current tenant is you're wanting them to have an experience. Downtown St. Peter, you know, it's an experience. And even if you live in a project in a rough neighborhood, you still want to sell an experience. You want your property to feel, you know, like a Class A property, even if it's located in the Class C minus core market.
Right. Well, you know, and once again, you know, so we're talking to everyone, these, you know, who listens to this podcast. We've got seasoned investors. We've got people who are looking to invest for the first time. I want to take you through, this is page 112 in your book, Buy It, Rent It, Profit. You listed some things that people should have to have good curb appeal. And, you know, is some of this not really common knowledge? I would imagine. I mean, we've seen some really rough properties. So clearing away the trash from your yard or curb, have you seen?
Yeah, it's funny, but it's watch the videos. Okay.
Yep.
That I've just recently shot where I walked, was looking at a project, and then I went and visited
BrianChavis.com/YouTube/YouTube.
And you'll see me walk some properties, and then you'll see me walk the competitors. At the end of the day, you think that that's common sense, but staff, they miss that. They miss picking up the trash, detailing the property, and things of that nature. So a lot of what is one of our coaching students just said this today in the session. Brian, you know, I love that you mentioned this stuff because this is stuff that I'm overlooking. Right. I know it, but I overlook it. And that's what goes on every day. And that's a business owner talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? What happens when you have staff who has no ownership?
Right.
You don't think if the owner... excuse me, is overlooking this. You don't think staff is overlooking it? So when you say, Brian, you wrote, that seems like common sense is never all too common.
Right.
Especially when you're talking about individuals that work, you know, on a team that may not be attached. You know, if the owner's overlooking that, then you know staff could be overlooking it. So it's something that needs to be brought up and you need to pay attention to, because that curb appeal is something that is, it's really important. It must speak to that demographic.
Absolutely. And so another one we got here is make sure the grass is cut. Once again.
Well maintained. Seems kind of common sense, but yeah, again, common sense ain't all that common. So yeah, you just ultimately you want a detailed property and right. You want to pay attention to the devil is always in the detail.
Right.
And you know, and then new level, new devil.
Yep.
So, you know, as you increase and as you level up your property, then there's always something else you need to then focus on management and focus on the professionalism of the staff and what can you do better. So there's just always a myriad of different things that you're looking at that you can do better. And it all looks like common sense on the surface, but you'll be surprised how many people do not execute on that.
Right. Well, I like talking about this stuff because once again, you know, we get a lot of people talk about acquiring a property. You know, we're looking at cap rates and all this stuff, and it's all airy-fairy until, you know, you've now purchased this property and you
now what?
Handed it, you're either managing yourself now or you're handing it off. And if you've chosen to get into that D class, which we've seen, there's also this thing where the outside can look like a junkyard when someone moves out. Mm-hmm. You know, they're mm-hmm. leaving all kinds of stuff on the side of the property or in the property.
I've seen that on some Class A too, but when they leave the trash, it ain't always on the C right. property. Yeah,
right.
I've seen all.
Yeah,
I've seen all asset classes carry your property up.
Absolutely.
So, I've seen it happen at all levels.
You know, actually, I did a photo shoot for a property. Can't say names, but you know, high level, you know, lending professional was going to his flat, and I was thinking, okay, I'm about mm-hmm. to shoot this luxury flat. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited, and that place looked like hoarders.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, really, man? Like, okay. You pay $4,000 a month to
and you live
hoard
like
all
a hoarder.
This stuff.
Yeah. No, you see it on every asset class. Yeah. You do.
Absolutely. What about paint jobs? So, you know, with getting.
And that's important. I like that paint job.
Yeah.
And so selecting the right kind of paint and understanding. So you're selling an experience. So we're looking at that right now with the downtown projects in downtown St. Pete. And some of them are the wood framed. Unfortunately, multifamily, but you know, the plus side is that this is downtown St. Pete. This is St. Petersburg, Florida. So we can go with that Key West resort style.
Right.
So understanding the type of structures and colors to choose to be able to invite the prospect tenant in and give them that experience that you're trying to sell. You know, it's you have to build a theme and a brand around the property. So choosing the colors and the curb appeal and the type of foliage that you're putting in place, you know, all that should be well thought out to the overall experience and the management plan that you're trying to sell when visiting that property. When you go to Park Plaza, it's that Miami.
Absolutely.
You know, you feel like you're on Collins Avenue. We're selling that Miami, vibe. Yep. You know, that's the experience of living in downtown St. Petersburg. It's making you feel like you're, you know, that tropical vibe, you
Absolutely.
Know, the colors, the foliage that we use,
yep.
The neon lighting that I decided Correct. To keep in place. You know, all of it. It just really plays to, you know.
Yeah. No, Park Plaza experience. Looks awesome. If you guys get a chance, you can go to brianchavis.com and you'll be able to follow us on our investment journey. Park Plaza is one of our flagship properties, and it's gorgeous. What Brian's done to it is amazing. That's a prime example of curb appeal. What about window dressings? And so like curtains, blinds, all that stuff. You got that listed in here as well.
Yeah, because in this video I just shot, I'm looking at the competitive properties.
Right.
And you have landscaping and things of that nature.
Right.
I'm sorry, not landscaping, but the overall uniformity, continuity of the property. It's really messed up when some tenants have their blinds missing blades. Or if it's the, I forgot the, you know, the blinds that, I forgot.
The horizontal blinds.
Yeah. So when the blinds are missing blades or the blinds are all jacked up or there's some sort of drapery or sheet hanging in the, you know, I mean, that just really messes up the overall uniformity of the property. Property and the landscape can look good. And then you see the building and it's like missing blinds. It's one person's got, you know, a Green Bay Packer. A comforter or something, you know, hanging up in the window, you know, whatever it is, those things are a no-no. It was one of the main reasons why when you go to Park Plaza, I decided to on the frontage of the property. Right. I went to the mirror tent, so you can see out, but you cannot see in. You see your reflection. Okay. That was one of the main reasons why, so I can have that uniformity, because I noticed when we bought it, if you look at some of the older videos, you'll see that some of the tenants, you know, their blinds were messed up, or they, you know, they would hang something, or, you know, one had a blind open, one was shut. The overall uniformity, it just wasn't pleasing to the eye. So for me, I love to see uniformity on the property. I love to see the consistency in the property as far as the overall professionalism and how it shows. And so that's how you know, that's something that you have to focus on, and that you have to make sure that your management team is always constantly focused on, because at the end of the day, Nathan, it comes down to sometimes splitting hairs and individual tenants, having to decide where they want to live, both offering similar amenities, both offering similar price points. Now it's going to come down to management and the professionalism and the overall, the presentation of the property.
Right.
And I'm telling you, 99.9% of the time, this is where I win.
Okay.
Because the properties that I've always been associated with, my training in the multifamily industry, you know, I've had thousands of rental units under management and ownership. You know, I've over two decades of experience. I understand I win by having, you can give me a hella property, and you've seen YouTube videos of me turning properties around. First thing I focus on, curb appeal and making sure the management staff is well trained.
Right.
Because I win with a great staff. You can give me a subpar property and I'll still lease it up because I can win with a superior staff, the professionalism, their ability to understand how to show and how to tour properties, their professionalism with current tenants, their ability to get renewals and obtain renewals, their ability to sell that experience of the property, to promote the brand of the property, themselves as individuals, as well as the property. All of that, you can give me any type of property. You can give me a bunch of teepees, and I'll lease them up with that type of team.
I love it. And I've definitely got a chance to witness it all. And, once again, if you guys want to see this in action, go to brianchavis.com/YouTube. There's some doozies on there, including having to hire security. So,
absolutely, yeah, some of the worst neighborhoods you'll ever
right. What about appealing to the senses? So, on page 113, you put appealing to the senses. So things like candles, air fresheners. Like, how do you, as the sensual part of it, when someone walks into an apartment, how are you as
the experience?
Yep.
So again, that's part of selling the experience. When you visit the properties, and a lot of people now too offer self-guided tours.
Okay.
So when an individual enters into a property, they're going to be bombarded by senses. Mm. So you hopefully those senses are going to be a good experience.
Correct.
Sometimes they're not. Sometimes the properties are too dark. Sometimes the properties have a dingy smell. Mm. That's something that is a negative. when it comes to weighing where they want to go.
Right.
So when they visit, you know, Chavis Academy property, or they visit properties of my clients or mm-hmm. my properties myself, mm-hmm. Chavis Capital, you know, we're focusing on the smell. We're focusing on the sound.
Right.
And we're focusing on sight. We're focusing on the senses and paying, you know, we pay close attention to that. And the interaction, again, you know, this property, it's selling its experience. And so we want them to have a nice experience. So we focus on, you know, lavender, soft vanilla, maybe, you know, something that's not going to bother the allergies when you come in. But, you know, we try to have some sort of iPad constantly playing our, you know, something playing music, mm-hmm. you know, with the loop, you know, jazz music or something, you know, that's playing on a little small little, you know, you can get now the little small little speakers and then you can have the little MP player still.
Right.
And you just play that jazz music or that classical music as they're going through. Giving them that experience, you know, of course you got the plugins, you know, with a nice sense, and then making sure your lighting is adequate. You know, you want to make sure we have stage lighting, you know, making sure that lighting over the stove and the lighting in the bathroom and things of that nature. All that plays to the senses, and you can see all that in the pictures that we have in the videos that I shoot, that, that's key to be able to play to the prospect tenant senses.
Absolutely. And, once again, so we're going to put a lot of this stuff on brianchavis.com. If you can go to brianchavis.com, you're going to be able to see a list of all of our favorite tools that we use. And you can go to brianchavis.com/leasing toolkit. brianchavis.com/leasing toolkit. And you're going to get a list of all of our favorite supplies, everything that you need to stage your unit. In your leasing toolkit, you actually listed a fair housing poster.
Correct.
Why should someone have something like that?
It's always good if something should ever arise that there's proof that, you know, you have that poster being displayed where you rent your units.
Right,
and you
go
to Staples and you get the little stand
and
you print that thing out, put it in there. It's just always a good idea to show that you're an equal opportunity, you know, housing provider. If anything ever arises that you practice by those, you know, race, religion, color, national origin, familial status, person with disabilities, you know, you're focusing on the protected classes and that you're aware of them and your team and staff is aware of them, because there's two places that, you know, you're going to get sued, and you can get sued by a prospect tenant as well. And the areas that you're probably going to get sued in property management and ownership is security deposit and fair housing claims.
Okay.
So you want to just make sure that you're well versed in those. That's why it's very important to be trained and have your team trained. So, you know, as an asset manager, you know, if you're going to hand this thing off to third party management, you want to make sure that you've tested them and that they understand that, because ultimately, you know, they may not win, but you'll be named in the lawsuit.
Right.
So, if something should arise.
In here as well, I mean, this sounds like trivial, but you put yarn and cutouts, but so like the yarn. So some people think that certain furniture may not
fit.
That's so pretty cool.
We would leave, you know, yarn for them, and it would say that, and we would show leasing agents would have that. If they were touring the property by themselves, they would be able to access it because there was a little sign that said that. But what it does, if there's no furniture in the unit, because there's a lot of our owners who can't afford to stage a unit.
Right.
So they do what they can with some things from, you know, Home Goods, IKEA, wherever they get their, you know, you can do certain things, but you can't really put furniture in because you're trying to lease that particular unit.
Right.
So what happens is when people come in and they're trying to figure out spacing, I don't know if my couch would fit there. You know, they use these cardboard cutouts of sofas or things of that nature, and or yarn is just the easiest.
That's
so
clever.
They're able to use and play and put furniture in place so they can get an idea of overall spacing.
Right. I like that. I mean, because once again, people are listening. You might have bought your first property. You don't have money to stage a unit. Like, these are things that can really help you. So, you know,
help any tool you can use to help close.
Yep.
Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you're asking for the deposit and a commitment by the prospect tenant. Any kind of tool you can help that particular prospect tenant sign on the line that's dotted.
Right.
Coffees for closers.
Yep, exactly.
Always be closing. Yeah. So, you know, anything I can do to help, you know, get that close or, you know, get that signature on the dotted line, that's what we're going to do.
I love it. I love it. And another part of your book, you put that you have a leasing notebook. And so we'll refer to a leasing notebook. You just got this fancy new iPad. It looks phenomenal.
You know, so I was going to mention that for people day, who are watching.
One day,
you know,
people aren't going to know what we call it notebook. They're like, why do you call it notebook?
Yeah.
It's like, we use books.
Everything you need is in absolutely. So all your information, right, floor plans. And so if you ever have an opportunity to stage, and let's say you can't afford again to put furniture in, but now you stage it one time, you take photos, take the furniture down. Now you have these photos with furniture in the units. And you can go through your iPad and show what the various different floor plans. They're asking about restaurants in the community. You can, boom, you know, you pull that up. So you have all this information in your iPad when you're showing and touring the property.
Right.
You know, this is information that you don't want them asking and having to go find out. Like, even with competitors. Oh, I wonder, I'm going to go look at the other competitors. Oh, where are you headed next? Or headed here? Let's pull them up. Mm-hmm. And I'll pull them up and try to walk them through a competitor's property from my iPad and touring their property. So, you know, if I can keep them there versus going to see, you know, why would you want to go there when you can stay here? But let's take a look at our competitor. Let's take a look at some of their units how they stage. So, if you can pull up information in real time, and you can do that now with your iPad, but just knowing, understanding how to have that information loaded in. So you want to have your nearest competitors loaded into your iPad already before when the tour happens, so you can, you know, show apples to apples or oranges to apples in some cases. You can have your lease contract already loaded so they can look at it, your rules and regulations, your qualifying criteria, they can sign right there. All of that information, your qualifying criteria, all that needs to be signed, excuse me, before they enter the unit and see the unit. They need to see the qualifying criteria so they know that your team is not, you know, violating any fair housing laws. You're being consistent in the way you show your rental units. So we get them to sign before they go on the tour. They can see a copy of the lease and the rules and the regulations. They can see floor plans of various properties that may not be available at the time. So you're able to show floor plans and pictures. Mm. You can also show other areas like, you know, where the trash compactor is or the dumpster is, whatever it is you need to do, schools.
Right.
You know, you can pull all that up on your iPad. So all that should be in your notebook and ready to go when you're showing your rental units.
I love it. And so one thing you said in the book as well is that the experience that your prospect has with you is your product. So, that's really what it's all about is, you know, providing this good experience because you're the product. So Chavis Capital, you know, our product is, you know, at a high level. You've got three things here for a good open house experience. So luxury service. And as we've kind of talked about it already through the podcast, but how is Chavis Capital providing luxury experience for?
Again, it just comes down, Nathan, to understanding the brand, understanding first the prospect tenant in that particular market segment, market, wherever you're at, and then developing the brand around that market. Okay. And then creating the framework and the management plan to be able to execute on that brand and it's that brand's goals is the key. And it doesn't necessarily mean a luxury. I mean, when I say luxury, it's a luxury feel. Like if you go to Mercedes or you go to Jaguar or Bentley, the experience to purchase those vehicles, there's wine, there's champagne, there's food, perhaps there's a great presentation on the vehicle. And then if you go to a Honda Civic, you know, and you're shopping, you know, there may be a presentation, but there's definitely no champagne.
Right.
You know, you might get a cola,
or a
bottle of water, or some donut minis from Dunkin' Donuts, whatever it may be that have been there for a couple of hours or maybe even a couple of days.
It's still luxury.
But at the end of the day, that might be luxury to some people. But if you were to experience Bentley and then you were experience the donut holes, you would know the difference.
True.
And the difference is that you can give, and when you're dealing with properties, you can give the Bentley experience at any type of property.
That's true.
I gave clients, and you know this from the videos, I gave our tenants and prospect tenants that Bentley service, even in some of the Class C properties, in some of the rough neighborhoods that I have had to turn around and operate and own and operate myself and also work with my clients. They got that Bentley type of that type of service. So at the end of the day, you can bring that professionalism, that service to any type of product. And that's what I mean when I talk about, you know, sometimes, man, value add.
Absolutely.
We hear this a lot. Sometimes value add is just simply adding the value to the way you operate the property.
Correct.
You might, you know, because you can change the color of the building, you can add landscaping, but ultimately the experience people have with staff and interacting with the staff and the management team, ultimately that's going to either determine whether or not they rent from you or whether or not they definitely renew with you.
That's true.
You know, the paint and curb appeal only goes so far.
Exactly. And I really loved your work with the C and D class properties. You know, the tenants really felt proud to get into the units, you know. So, yeah, that luxury feel for any asset class is key. So you also said that anyone can show a unit, but you do something different. You provide a tour.
Correct.
What's the difference? Like, what? Why?
I learned that difference, you know, all the years of experience with Walt Disney World.
Right, right.
You know, taking my family to Disney.
Okay.
I understood Disney coined the term the Disney experience. Mm. So I really, my eyes were opened when I visited the resorts, and they know, you know, from the last year's visit or the previous visit, you know, the rides that my kids rode, or, you know, they know that my children are smaller. So they'll, you know, in the greeting letter to them, they'll tell them about rides and shows and things like that, that they can actually get on, like teacup, you know, smaller rides for right. smaller children and shows that they would be interested in. They know I'm a golfer. So, you know, it talks about, you know, courses or, you know, things that may be going on at certain courses and, you know, or upgrades to certain courses, whatever it may be. So, you know, the wife, they may chime into the spa experience and the shopping experience and understand where she shopped the last time and offer discounts and things at certain places where Absolutely. She's shopped. So just really understanding that you're creating an experience when people show up to the property, it's customizable. Each experience is different for each family based upon their interaction or based upon Disney's assumptions about your family if you weren't to provide them with any information.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there's a questionnaire that they have when you visit the resort or when you're booking online and things of that nature. But it's all of that information and compiling their ability to create these experiences key. Anyone can show up to the hotel, give you the key, maybe show you a few things here and there. But going above and beyond and making an experience is something that keeps people coming back, paying those high ticket dollar amounts. And for me, I'm trying to create an experience because I am trying to outcompete my competitors. I know that dollar means something to that prospect tenant, and they can take that dollar across the street and go somewhere else.
Right.
So it's my job to want them to put that dollar with Park Plaza and to feel like they're getting something back versus just putting money into rent and not getting anything back like ownership or anything of that nature. With us, we want them to make them feel like they're getting something back, and that right. something back is a noteworthy experience.
Right. I love it. I love it. And then the final key that you put was professional management. So all tenants want to be treated with respect. And so if you're unorganized and unprofessional in the beginning, the type of tenants you want may be turned off by your lack of unprofessionalism. Have you seen that in the industry? And how do
the
you
know? Biggest, the biggest value add proposition for any investor, syndicator, whomever, the biggest value add proposition that you don't hear talked about is in the management.
Mm.
Period. You hear all the books talk about value add, but not too many people really talk about what value add means. You can value add, as we talked about earlier in the podcast, to the you know, offering amenities
right.
to the property, offering curb appeal, offering an experience, you know. But ultimately, the true value add that should never be overlooked, that needs to be focused upon in the management plan as you're developing the framework for the management plan, the most important aspect is the management and how will you execute Monday through Sunday and what that experience is going to be for that prospect tenant and that tenant, you know, for the tenant, how can we ensure that they renew at their higher price?
Mm-hmm.
For the prospect, how do we get them to invest their dollar with us? So ultimately, it's the number one thing you can do and focus on when you're talking about a value add, that you're a value add firm, is understanding that value add starts with the management.
Right.
And executing.
Man, So, I mean, you just gave us all the tips to really be a leasing megastar. So
that's it, brother. I gave you the tips to create. And what is a leasing megastar do? We'll close with this. A leasing megastar leases, right?
Yep.
And when you lease, you rent. And when you rent, you're bringing, obviously, income to the, you know, value to the property.
Correct.
So you're creating net operating income. And when you have net, what makes up 99.9% of net operating income is typically is rent. And rent and net operating income equals value. So ultimately, all this comes down to adding value to your property. Maximizing income, minimizing expenses is adding value to your property. So the execution day-to-day and the management and the asset management is having a direct result on value. So when you talk about value add, if you're not talking management and what affects day-to-day net operating income, what affects it day-to-day, who's the gatekeeper of net operating income is the management. So if you don't really understand how to overhaul, create frameworks and management plans for each property, creating a unique brand, executing upon that brand, putting in the proper systems in place, you know, that identify the work that needs to be done, then tells the user how to go about performing that work consistently, then you can get to profitability. If you can't do that, then you're just stuck on that acquisition phase in the five phases in underwriting. And you've missed the point of really being a successful syndicator or an investor, that there is much more than just understanding how to underwrite investment property or analyze markets. There's acquisition, implementation, stabilization, growth, and exit strategy. Brother, there's four other phases that you have to master to be successful, to be able to add that value to the bottom line. And really, that's what it's about.
Absolutely.
And man, I'll say no more.
Hey, no, I'm going to have you say a little more. But thank you so much for coming into the studio, B, man. It is always a pleasure having
you. Always good to be here.
Man, so Multifamily Matrix is our coaching program. It's our weekly coaching program. We've been having some phenomenal coaching sessions. You know, the materials are just getting better and better. The connections that are happening in there is amazing. Tell people about Multifamily Matrix. What's been your experience even just, you know, leading the coaching? And what can people expect moving forward?
You know, I said it this morning. How do I take 2 decades of experience managing thousands of rental units through various different economies from 9/11 to, you know, that crash in the market and navigating just thousands? When you're talking about thousands of rental units, okay? Over 4,000 at one time I was operating and managing. Do you understand how many personalities and how many experiences have I had that I'm dealing with from the management side to the tenant side? Right. How and where does an individual gather all that experience? And I'm talking to all of our listeners, because a lot of folks now are becoming thought leaders and wanting to be to put content out there. It's tough to turn on thought leadership without having, you know, knowledge and experience. So for me, the difficult part was, what can we create? What type of platform, what type of ecosystem can we create for an individual to glean all of the experience, the 20 some odd years experience I've had through training and coaching sessions? And, you know, because that's what we have to do, is we have to prepare these individuals. We have to develop their skills, and we have to give them the opportunity to develop and the tools and services to develop. Mm. And that is what goes on in the Matrix. And as it grows, the opportunities that are presented to the group, the opportunities from growth development, the opportunities from the real estate side of things, financial opportunities, all those things grow inside the Matrix. And ultimately, as we grow it and we put into it, And I'm putting my experience into it, and you're putting your experience as the wizard behind the platform, making sure that that customer client experience is top notch. Mm-hmm. You know, as it grows, it just grows stronger and stronger. Skills become more developed, tools and services become more refined and focused to the client's needs, no matter what level they're at.
Correct.
And that is the real, to me, the beauty of it, is no matter what level. Beginner, novice, experienced syndicator, CEO, you got owners, you got all kind of people in the Matrix.
Right.
That they're developing and, you know, they're growing. And you heard one of them say today, Brian, you know, it's funny because, you know, I know all this. Mm-hmm. I'm experienced. This gentleman has over 20 years experience himself. But the reinforcement of it all helps me keep my sword sharp.
Correct.
Because you might be a master samurai and you might have a tight, a nice sword play. But if your sword is dull.
Right.
What good is it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now you're just sparring.
Now you're just sparring, man. So, I mean, we have over 130 videos in there. There's probably over 30 segments on rental investing, asset management to start out with. So as soon as you log in, whether you're beginner or experienced, there's over 130 videos to start out with. We add a new video each week through our coaching and training program and all of your, you know, leases and forms and all the documents that you need to be successful are also included. So if you're looking to manage properties, if you're currently managing properties, we'd love to invite you to join the Matrix, brianchavis.com/matrix. It's the Multifamily Matrix. It's our weekly coaching and training program for investors, people who are looking to get into multifamily property. Once again, go to brianchavis.com/leasing toolkit. You're going to be able to get all the information that we talked about today, including some of our favorite resources and tools. And then also, we've teamed up with Home Depot. We've got a really cool deal. So this whole podcast, as we've been talking about this, now as listeners to this podcast and people who subscribe to what we're doing, you can go to brianchavis.com/Home Depot and, you know, tell them more about that. So, you know, with Home Depot Pro, you know.
Yeah. So the Pro Desk and the relationships and the sponsorship with Home Depot, our partnership with Home Depot, is significant to the fact that, you know, you're able to, for all of our owners and operators out there, you're able to actually access better pricing, even than what you can get on the, at the Pro Desk. Cause at the Pro Desk, essentially you're still buying off the shelf of Correct. Home Depot.
Correct.
So, you know, we might get some perks here and there, but we're still buying off the shelf. And with this, you know, new website and this is a Home Depot, but it's a Home Depot site that offers discounts to specific to property managers and owners of rental property, you know, much better pricing. So,
Correct.
You know, we're going to tap into it at with our properties. And now we're able to offer that to our clients within the Matrix. And yeah, man, I'm just really excited about that Home Depot partnership and, you know, and other partnerships that are to come with our podcast and our sponsorships with our podcast and us being able to tap into that. We have something with Rent-A-Meter as well.
Correct.
I'm just excited about all of these opportunities, you know, that our listeners and our clients are able to, to have access to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to learn more about that, go to brianchavis.com/Home Depot. We're really excited about all our partnerships. Our goal is to help you own multifamily in 2020 and beyond. We're always looking at the resources that are going to help make your life easier. And, once again, thank you so much for all of your knowledge and all your information, man. Thank you for hanging out in the studio, brother.
Absolutely.
And I look forward to talking with you next week.
See you next week.
Take care.
All right, buddy.